Unfiltered opinions.
Sometimes you have ideas and you're not quite sure why.
Does he secure the bag?
Sometimes you meet people and realize there's probably a reason why you stayed in touch.
Just listen.
Sometimes all the pieces just come together by themselves.
I'm Jimmy Mayaha.
And I'm Simon Grant.
Welcome to Insider Exchange.
Welcome to the festive edition of Insider Exchange. We're going to be reflecting on the year that was, looking at all of the various moving parts of the year. We're going to be taking a look at the Grinch of the year. We're going to be looking at who were the uninvited guests of the year this year. There was a Scrooge somewhere in the midst of it all. Very obvious one, but we're going to look at that nonetheless. We're also going to reflect on the Santa of the year and the ultimate Christmas present. We're going to give you all of that throughout the show. Remember, folks, if you are listening to us, if you are watching us, like, follow, subscribe if you haven't already. Share with your friends. Get everything shared within our communities. We love to engage with you. We're going to look at that as well. We're going to look at some of the biggest engagements. We're going to look at some of the topics that were very hot throughout the year. But let's start with the festive. It's December. We're here. It's finally here. The last show of the year. What does Christmas, what does the festive period remind you of? What's the most fond thing that you can think of in this time?
Cliches, I suppose. But my sister and her kids are in Durban. So we typically spend Christmas with them somewhere, either in Joburg or Durban or somewhere like that. And I just love Christmas in Durban. It is, you got the Christmas beetles. It is hot and sticky. I mean, she messaged me this morning. It was like 26 degrees and raining, and her cat, and like the humidity is like plus 80, and her poor cats are like, I don't know what to do. I just love that sense of December. And then, yeah, it's swimming pools and beaches. And one of our traditions is for Christmas Eve, we go to one of the reserves around KZN to celebrate. It would have been my late mom's birthday. And we go early and we cook sausages on the brine, drink bubbles at 7:30 in the morning. Crazy stuff like that.
Yeah, for me, it's always been a simple time in the year, right? A time to spend with family, a time to decompress. I think our years get quite busy and quite hectic. Yeah. And it's nice to be able to just sit back and take stock of what it was. Typically, it's the most relaxed time of the year. But
yeah, we get some proper period of leave as well.
We do, right?
Which matters.
I've managed the brise. Oh, the Christmas brise. The Christmas brise, the Christmas desserts, the Christmas cooking.
I mean, just the excess of food. I mean,
yes,
my family tries to dial it down. And it's still...
And it never works.
It's dialed down, but like...
Yeah, but dialed down has now gone from 18 relative. Courses to maybe 16 or 15.
Like, I think there are four puddings that we're planning. There are only like 6 or 7 of us, 8 or 9. I don't know, but like 4 puddings. But that, like, don't get me wrong, like 4 puddings is where it should be at, right?
That's just the right amount of puddings. Shout out to our TikTok community. Thanks for joining us on the live stream. Let us know what 4 puddings you're having this Christmas. If you're having 5, that's okay. We might have to cut one off the list. But yes, it's very much that time of the year where you reflect on the year that was. And I mean, for us, there's been a lot. Like, I can seldom think of a year that's been as busy from a markets perspective and a financial perspective as this year. And we're going to do things a little differently. So bear with us, right? Stick with us throughout the show. We're going to see if we can cover as many of the market events as possible. Let's start with the market matters of the year. Uninvited guests kind of fits in here, right? So those companies that kind of did things that we didn't really think they would do. Nobody asked them to do it. Like, nobody asked the Sasol share price to go down to 89 Rand. Nobody asked...
50% down.
50% down for the year.
Yeah.
Uninvited guests. That's someone you're not having come over for the 4 puddings. You get one pudding. No. Doesn't... You know what I mean?
I don't know. I think if you're a Sasol shareholder, you've only got one.
PGMs didn't fare much better. They're also in the running for uninvited guest of the year.
They went sideways all year, and they kept on promising to do something. And then, like, yeah, not this week, fam. You know, we had the Palladium at one point broke high, remember, was looking good, got to 1,200. A lot of excited in the PGM space. Wayne McCurry will tell you that commodities are cyclical and they will turn. I'm old-fashioned. I wait for them to turn first. Then I get involved in the party.
David Shapiro kept calling a bottom. I speak to him on a weekly basis. Every week was, oh no, this is the bottom. Oh no, this is the bottom. Oh no, this is the bottom. And it wasn't because it was a bad call or anything. It was markets just kept disappointing.
Yeah. Now, the share prices have maybe, they've certainly bounced
slightly. Not the commodities side of it. Correct. Not the commodities prices. Yeah, no.
Okay. And they're talking about a platinum deficit next year.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about those before. We're talking around less EV, more hybrid, which mm-hmm. means PGMs, but there is no action. I mean, I still think it doesn't look like a classic bottom. And what I mean by that is that the balance sheets of the PGM miners are surprisingly strong.
Mm.
When balance sheets are tattered, then
it's a bottom.
Because
yeah.
then at this point, they can carry on some loss making. We've seen some closures, mostly in the palladium space rather than PGM. But when balance sheets get very stressed and then we see more mine closures, and then
Section 189s come to the fold, all of those sorts of things.
That sort of stuff. Then maybe I'm not brave enough to be calling this a bottom yet.
Rounding up our candidates for uninvited guests of the year is BHP.
Yeah, who rocked up and said, we want Anglo, except we don't want Anglo. We just want that little bit there.
Just that little piece
and
of Anglo.
They were going to spin out Kumba, Anglo Platinum and De Beers.
Everything except the copper business.
Yeah, and the South American iron ore. Or were they going to spin that too? I can't even remember.
We're not sure. They hadn't made a decision. But the point is, they weren't received as favorably. They were very uninvited by the Anglo stable.
Offer.
It was. It really was. But to be fair, when you have the balance sheet size to be one of the few players in the world that can do that, you kind of have that.
So do they come back? I think they do. Hey?
You do. You got to wait that mandatory period before you can make a new offer.
It's
April-ish of next year.
Is it as far as April?
I think so. I'm not sure.
No, this offer was early in the year. I thought it was about now.
It wasn't pre-election. It was post-election.
Mm.
So maybe sometime early in the new year. We'll take a look. We'll do that. Folks that are listening to us via audio, you might be hearing a little jingle every now and then. It's because we're feeling festive. Get December. We're doing December things. Watch the videos on the YouTube page. You'll see exactly where the jingles are coming from. And we'll leave that one on that note. Yeah.
So actually officially withdrew its offer on May 29, which was election day. So November 29, they can come back.
Oh, but maybe, November 29 has happened. So I suppose maybe it is the December break. They're looking at how things are working out with the unbundlings. Who do we give the title to? Because we need to move on to the other awards that we're giving out. So from the uninvited guests of the year, Sasol, BHP, PGMs. That's a tough one, eh?
It's Sasol.
It's Sasol. It's not so tough. It's Sasol.
I don't hold Sasol, but man, there's peeps on
But
the...
you have friends who are Sasol shareholders.
Actually, I do.
Yeah.
And I'm buying them Christmas lunch.
There we go, right?
They got no lunch.
I have a couple of friends as well who have been saying just Sasol, but what's going on? And you're like, look, it's
going down.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Uninvited guests of the year, Sasol. Unfortunately, you guys take that. We're going to be taking a look at the Grinch of the year now as we wrap up this Market Matters segment. We have China. We expected China to be kind of grinchy. We didn't expect that much grinch in the stimulus. We have central banks grinchy with their rate cuts. And we have a certain orange gentleman who's now been re-elected and has decided before being inaugurated back into the White House, he's going to start a war with everyone that he can think of.
Yeah. So central bankers, I mean, they came, remember January? Six cuts were being promised.
Hey, we got promised a lot, eh?
So we got two so far. They're talking the US. We only got two quarters locally. US off 75. And I think we're only going to get another 0.5% out of the US, maybe 75 points in this cutting cycle. And then they're going to pause. The China, we had so much hope for China because remember last year we had the Xi Jinping got his third term. He spoke around having broadly achieved their goals with common prosperity, which meant no more cutting off the tech companies at the knees. They abandoned their zero COVID policy also at around the same time, October. And it was all looking great guns.
It was looking a little better,
except for the part where it didn't. And then their stimulus package arrived and it was nothing. They had Chinese inflation 0.2%. I mean, their risk is okay. Low growth for them is relative, right? Let's be clear. But sub 5% growth,
sub 5, you guys are such a disappointment. You are a disappointment to the world family by hitting 4% of global growth instead of 5%.
So and then they came with the stimulus package on 24 September. We were close. Chinese equities went through the moon, and then it basically giving it all back, as we realized, hang on.
That wasn't a stimulus package. That
was like $300 billion or something.
It was a municipal debt relief program thing.
Something like that.
Yeah.
It absolutely wasn't particularly thrilling at all. So they really did. I mean, the Chinese index is, it's not back at the 24 levels yet. I mean, it's still actually quite, it's about 25% up. Okay, so we maybe shouldn't hate them too much, but we expected more from them, is the honest thing. Donald Trump,
they let us down.
We don't expect more. We also also didn't expect him to win the election.
but we don't expect him to come out and just be as grinchy as he's been. I mean, he's definitely come out. We got an aggressive version of Donald Trump the first time round, and an X version, a Twitter version of him who was ranting around that. This time he's come around with, I'm on the path of just making a mess, really.
He has to a degree because he's a second term president. Hmm. So he's got nothing left.
He's got nothing to lose. Fair enough.
But so he's lame duck, right? Hmm. So all he's got is legacy. Hmm. So, and legacy for him is, you know, how many likes can I get on my tweet?
Fair enough.
Something. So he's just going to, this is going to be the next, I was going to say 4 years, but he's not even in yet.
He's not.
4 years and 5 weeks of our future.
This is going to be a long 4 years. So who wins? China, Donald Trump, or central banks? I'm inclined to say central banks, in as grinchy as they have been, haven't been grinchier than Trump and China.
I agree with you. And I think that actually, I mean, we've had soft landings. We've got inflation really under control locally. As much as we grinch them, I'm not sure they're the grinch.
Mm.
So it's Trump or China?
Trump or China?
You see, we're going to have Trump on our list next year, the year after, the year after, the year after.
Cool. So you want to give this one to China?
Yeah.
Cool. There you go. Trump, you'll make other lists because we know you will.
We know you.
You'll disappoint us in the future. Who was that guy that used to disappoint us like that? My Ben. Where's my Ben? It's been a while. So yes, Trump gets an honorable second place there, but China becomes the Grinch of the year. And on that note, we're going to wrap up Market Matters. We're going to move on to our deep dive. In our deep dive, we're going to be taking a look at Scrooge of the Year, some new elves. And then in our Investor Insights, we're going to be taking a look at Santa of the Year, the ultimate Christmas gift. And we're going to look at some honorable mentions throughout the show as well. Speaking of honorable mentions, honorable mention for the market segment would have been this year's elections. 50% of the world's GDP going to the polls to vote. Very, very honorable mentions in terms of countries and geopolitical moves and all of those sorts of things that came out there. That's the first honorable mention. And my second honorable mention is Eskom. We didn't suffer through load shedding as much as we thought we would.
We're up to 258 days of no load shedding. Mm-hmm. Now, back
following 16 years of load shedding?
26 March. I mean, I don't remember this, but I know exactly how it would have played out. 26 March at 5 o'clock, load shedding was suspended.
Okay.
I'm up at that point having my first coffee and cigarette of the morning. My phone would have beeped, would have said load shedding suspended. I'm like, yeah, until lunch.
Yes, effectively.
I haven't been back in that app since. Like, what's happening?
But you can see the trauma, right? Every now and then, that app pushes through a notification that says load shedding is still suspended.
Yeah, I have.
And I'm like, I can't just know.
No, they're no longer allowed to alert.
It's a lot of trauma to deal with.
But it was, I mean, it still remains staggering and astounding, but it is so hugely important that we have power. I mean, we know it. It is, from a personal perspective, it was expensive. It was emotionally draining. Mm. It was just no fun whatsoever. Where I live, we've got a generator, but it takes 40 seconds to kick in. Mm. I was in the lift once, man. I don't like lifts on a good day. Like, this was like not a fun 40 seconds. And then they all just, the alarms go off and it just goes to the bottom floor, man. I just get out. Like, that doesn't matter. I'm out of here. I'm walking. And then obviously from business, you know, it's saving, but it's just reliability of power.
Mm.
Yo.
Absolutely.
And then for a country, imagine you're Mr. or Mrs. CEO and you're looking to put a factory and you've got a list of countries, South Africa, security of power, nudging, next.
Off the list. That's it. And that's where we're going to leave Market Matters. Well done, Eskom. You didn't make Grinch of the Year. Let's keep it that way going into next year. But that's Market Matters for this week. And we move on to our deep dive. We're going to be taking a look at some of the new elves on the block, effectively, those things and companies that came in, took the world by storm and surprised people to the upside. We're also going to take a look at Scrooge. You want to start with Scrooge?
Yeah.
Scrooge was very easy. 280 billion rand in cash.
Dollars.
280 billion dollars in cash because I don't want to spend my money.
He could pay Eskom debt 18 times.
Eskom debt?
No.
He could almost pay some of the US's debt.
He could pay South Africa's debt.
He could pay a lot of people's debts.
And then there comes a point to it, because you're right, it's a lot of cash. And then a lot of folks are like, he thinks the world is ending and stuff. That's not how Buffett plays.
Hmm.
But it does mean a significant drag on his potential returns. Because what's the earning on cash? I mean, maybe he gets, I don't know, what does he get? 2%, 2.5% or something like that?
I suppose even if you give him a preferential rate for being who he is.
Let's give him 4. Okay, so he gets 4 because he's Mr. Buffett.
Hmm.
Like 4% is not much when it's a third of your portfolio.
That's true, but when you are at his price point, 4% for no risk for the year to just, it's basically taking a year off, right?
Yeah.
It gives you time to sit there and say, let's see what happens. Let's see what bottoms out. Let's see what goes into a recession. It's not making a loss for that year on that cash. Mm-hmm. And at his age as well, he's not chasing returns. Mm-hmm. He's not at that point in his life where he needs to outperform the S&P.
He bought Pool or something or other.
Pool Corp, yes.
And he put like 50 million in.
That's it.
He bought Debonairs. He put like 500 million. Maybe Domino's. It was 150. Yes. Domino's for 500 million. Hmm. The other one for, I think, 150 million. I mean, that's like money. It's not even under the couch.
It's like probably the interest he earned on the cash reserves that he had.
For Tuesday.
For Tuesday. There we go. Yeah, so it's definitely easy awarding of that title of Scrooge of the Year. Mm-hmm. But that's how he's always managed his portfolio.
Yeah, he probably takes it with a badge of honor. He's probably sitting in Omaha saying, hey, thank you.
There we go, right? Yeah. And also counting his money while he does that. So it's easy to call him Scrooge. He's still got the money.
He's too old to count his money. He's going to run out of time before he runs out of money.
Well, there we go. Scrooge of the Year. New elves of the year. New kids on the block. Things that kind of took the world by storm, or at least took South Africa by storm. We exported one of our best exports. I don't know if it was this year or started kind of late last year, but for the bulk of this year, it's been a really good export. Tyler.
So I didn't see any of her shows. In hindsight, I probably should have. Mm. I know a friend who went to the Cape Town one and then the Joburg one. By accounts, it was just insane. And what I love about her is, I mean, her music's great. It's not quite my genre, but I certainly enjoy it and played it a lot. It might have been on my Spotify list, but I don't have Spotify, so I don't know. And Apple doesn't do those sort of things.
No, they make you pay for those things. iTunes. Mm.
Yeah. But she's just so genuine.
Yeah.
I mean, in a world of fakeness, here is someone who's just, like when she pulled the pup out of her bag, like you get the sense that it probably was there. When she says to the oak, Spur, you've never heard of Spur. He's a Brit or something.
She's shocked that you haven't heard of the, yes.
Like the fact that he's British, she's like, yeah, but it's Spur. She's awesome.
Great export, that one. Very, very good export. Shout out to Tyler. Shout out to her team. You guys have been working hard, hey?
Yeah.
Hopefully you guys continue to see the benefits of working hard. And we support you guys. We Buy Cars, the other new kid, new elf that made its listing debut this year. How do we feel about that? That
up 140%. Doubled, yeah. So you know what it does? I've been thinking about it. Because when it listed at $20, I thought, yeah, like maybe fair. Like if it comes back to, it was running, I thought it would come back and it has never stopped. It's now close to 50. And their last set of results were good. And they reckon they, you know, forward PE of 20-ish, growth of 15, 20 in HEPS, not expensive. What they're doing, and I think it's what, and we'll touch on this as well with the second example as well, is they were buried within Transaction Capital. And I think we broadly fail to understand what they're doing. They are revolutionizing a sector, which is secondhand cars, which has never been a fun experience, either from a seller or a buyer perspective of a secondhand car. They are fundamentally changing a market which has been fractured and needed to be shaken up, much like NVIDIA is doing, but not in tech. We look for this in tech. We look for the new gadget or something. Here it happened in secondhand. Hand cars. What we're also seeing, I don't know if you've looked at car prices recently. Sit yourself down because them are expensive. So it used to be, I think, 1.12 secondhand cars per new vehicle sale, now 1.44. I think that's going to continue to rise, maybe a little slower as we go into the years ahead. And they're just fundamentally changing the market. I got someone who was trading in a car and they went to the dealership and the dealership said, look, I'll give you a price, but you're going to get a better price at We Buy Cars. It's that. And it's an industry which so desperately needed to be fixed, and they are in the process of fixing it. And their growth is not coming from expanding the market. Their growth is just from taking from the mom and pops at Elos Street and other parts of the world.
There we go, right? Yeah. And they've done well. Small, slight correction there, and we do apologize again to Tyler and her team. It is Grammy award-winning Tyler. We mustn't forget these things. These are achievements. Amongst the list of other awards that came through and accolades throughout the year, new artist of the year, all sorts of things, but Grammy award-winning there. The other one that I want to look at is obviously Boxer. The Boxer listing, the other new kid on the block, the new elves to enter the North Pole, I suppose, doing well. Well received. Share price kind of coming in really high and really hot. But do we think that that's got a bit of momentum going into next year?
I think it has. This was another one that was deeply hidden. And I think, I mean, Boxer is a good business. Again, not massively expensive, even at the sort of 65 Rand. For some reason, my computer has never heard of Boxer, which is a lie, but what the
heck. Which is a lie.
And they're in a good space. The problem they have is ShopRite. Like, I would not take on ShopRite truck for anything. Like, no. But I do think there are some easy wins for them. I do think there's some easy gain. For example, they can just go and see where pretty much every USave in the country is and think, well, why isn't there a Boxer there too?
Mm.
You know, taxi ranks and other such places. I think being out of the pick and pay management business structure, probably good for them. Although Sean Summers will obviously shake that and make it a lot better, but I think probably good for them. And in a good business, in a good space, and people have to eat. Now imagine a low cost, low income food retailer in a growing economy.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa, then things get really icy.
Yeah, then things get really, really bad. So yeah, those are the kids that make our new elves, the rising stars of the year. We honor those. And there's honorable mention there as well, right? And for me, an honorable mention in that space is the name Shohei Ohtani. This is a baseball player who plays in the US, is a Japanese baseball player who plays for, I believe it's the Dodgers. Yes, it's the Dodgers. And the reason it is the honorable mention and the monumental success that he's achieved in this year is in baseball, there's this thing where they measure home runs, they measure stolen bases, they measure a bunch of other stats and how good you are and all of that in one season. Shohei was okay prior to this kind of season here. And for a bit of context, I mean, he'd had 43 home runs and 43 stolen bases and all of that. And you kind of, people do that over a period of time. People do it over their careers, over a certain number of seasons or whatever. Shohei has officially started the 50-50 club, which no other baseball player has done in history. Which effectively means that someone from outside of the US has come into the US and dominated a US sport. We'll come back to that point in a little bit. But the 50-50 club is 50 home runs and 50 stolen bases, and he's done that in one season. But this has been a remarkable season. He started the 50-50 club, but the manner in which he started the 50-50 club, the stats are wild, right? That's an honorable mention for me, because when we're looking at things or individuals or companies that have come out of nowhere, surprised the world, and left a lot of positive sentiment, right? He's done wonders for the baseball community in the United States and around the world, and I'm sure in Japan as well.
Yeah. Okay, I'd never heard of him.
Probably going to go down as one of the greatest baseball players.
That's wild.
Ever. That's wild. It's quite crazy. Okay. Interesting fact on that note is, as a result of his record-breaking year, the Dodgers now owe him more than $1 billion.
Whoa, hang on.
In contract deferrals. Yes. So you hit milestones, and then the milestones hit
and they trigger things. Crazy essence, because no one had done
this
before.
That's it, because no one had done this before. Yeah, sure, whatever. And Shohei's like, oh, this is the year to get paid, right?
So he can pay off Japanese debt.
You see, it's been a good year. I think that's a good point to leave the dive on. Yeah. It's a good place to end the year off on. We're going to move on to Investor Insights, and we're going to take a look at who our Santa of the year is and our ultimate Christmas present. But for now, that's the deep dive. Investor Insights. We're going to be taking a look at Santa of the Year, the gifts that just kept on giving. And we're also going to take a look at the ultimate Christmas present of the year, what we think deserves that title. We're going to take a look at that, and we're going to update our wall. We're going to add some pics to the wall and see what we end up with. Santa of the Year.
Yeah.
The ultimate gift that kept on giving, right? I have three kind of preferred candidates for this. First of all, Jacob Zuma and the MK Party kept on giving.
You're only 51 weeks old as of today.
Who kept on giving parliamentary posts and who kept on giving parliamentary positions. They surprised much to the detriment of the African National Congress and obviously those that didn't believe that they would exist. But they deserve to make that list. I mean, it's been one of those years.
I mean, and it's not a political statement in the sense.
It's not.
But to launch a political party, what was effectively
3 weeks before the elections, also
16 September, so a couple of months, but still, it was hugely brave to have it. No policy, I mean, what is the policy? We don't like the ANC.
It's launching a startup.
You launch
a startup. You go into it
with a B grade product and no
straight into it.
And they clopped it. I mean, biggest
and effectively where the outcome of the election is the equivalent of listing your startup. To make top three, you may as well be in the listed space now, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You're not a small fish by any stretch of the imagination. So, yes, they make the
third largest party in parliament now.
That's it. They make the list for potentially Santa of the Year. The other one there is the GNU, not the animal, the government of national unity or the government of political party. I don't know. It's got so many different names. All we know is it made it beyond 100 days.
It's a coalition, but it's made it beyond 100 days. It's barreling along. The weekend papers were all about how it's collapsing. Mm. But way back when the GNU was getting glued together, the sense was that this is going to be messy and there will be lots of stuff out in the media. Mm. But understand that people with, you know, in this case, who want the GNU to collapse. So there's like, ignore all of that. It is working. You know what stands out for me? As I think, so three things. Like apparently the whole deal only got signed because Floyd Shivangbu wanted a toilet break during the swearing in. And that's when quickly the ANC and the DA all signed it together. The maturity of the ANC, and I think we need to acknowledge and credit them for saying, we lost, my bad. And to accept that. Mm. There's a lot of places, starting with the orange one, who don't accept losing elections.
Elections are rigged. There's been interference from Russia. That happened the first time, right?
Yeah, and I think again, credit to the DA, who the last thing they want to be is in power with the ANC. Ideologically, there's a lot that they agree on, but broadly, not at all. And yet, I think they case of like, you know what, this is really good for the country. Mm. Let's do it. Mm. And so what we got was mature politician.
Which in itself, as a concept, is foreign, right? But more so, I think the South African story is that much more important from a mature politics perspective, because the reality is for a democracy as young as ours, first of all, to have achieved that level of maturity was a very clear statement in a year where 50% of the world's GDP was voting. Everybody was in an election. All the BRICS bloc countries were in an election. The US went into an election. Almost every major economy you can think of had an election. China had an election as well.
No, China was last year.
Was it last year? End of last year to kick off into this year.
But I mean, India, 1.4 billion people.
That's it.
I mean, et cetera, et cetera. And there was a lot of maturity in it. I mean, Botswana, Namibia just voted. Mozambique, unfortunately not. South Korea went crazy, but then
martial law, right?
And then undeclared, and then they couldn't impeach him. But I mean, it's just, actually. So I carried little bat for politicians as a rule, but there was a lot of maturity with politicians this year. And
that benefited the market.
Yes.
I mean, we can debate whether or not it had impact, whether or not what was there or what was seen. But the reality is the South African political landscape, South Africa's currency has been a politically driven currency. Sentiment has been politically driven. Mm-hmm. And things like grey listing don't aid to that. Mm-hmm. Now, there's another honorable mention for Grinch of the Year, the grey listing. But that didn't happen this year, right?
So, no, it was last year.
Yeah, so that's kind of... But the idea is there's a lot that could have gone wrong and there's a lot that's benefited from what we're seeing there. So it's worthy of Santa of the Year. The other one, the final candidate for Santa of the Year is the POTS.
The POTS.
So many POTS.
Two
all
pots,
the POTS, three POTS, four POTS.
Just POTS.
Yeah. Mm. People now have more money, hopefully, in their pockets. People are hopefully seeing things a little bit better as a result of the implementation of the two POT. We have seen a record number of withdrawals and
running higher than thought. Alexander Forbes
and
said...
And faster than previously
they
thought.
They said that they were... Their early numbers were 2x ahead of expectation. Mm. So they're withdrawing money to go to have a holiday in Durban, I think, is a terrible idea. And people are saying that they're paying down debt. I wonder if that's just what you say, right? You're doing an exit interview. You don't say to a man, I'm buying beer. I mean, that like no, you don't. But I like it as a concept for long term, because what used to happen in the day is that someone would have their job, be in trouble, want to access their pension. And the way you did it was quit your job, cash out your pension, pay huge debt, tax, have zero pension, and try get another job and start again. Mm. Now you can at any point take a third of your pension out. So only 30K pre-September, but if you put in another 300,000 over the next year, well, you can take 100 of it out if you want. Now, again, you shouldn't, but life throws you curveball.
It does.
So I think
it does.
That in 10, 20, 30, 40 years' time, this is going to make a much better pension landscape for South Africans at pensionable age. Mm. They're going to simply have more money as a result of this, because that 1/2 you just can't touch. It is just untouchable, except on death, divorce, or retirement.
Okay. So that's the list or the candidates that we have for Santa of the Year. Who do we give it to?
GNU.
I'm inclined to give it to GNU as well. Yeah. Hey,
I like a GNU. They're a strappy looking animal.
It was one of And from a political standpoint, it was one of those things where no one thought it would happen. No one saw it coming.
And it
no
happened
one saw it
smoothly and easily. That's within it. Like 2 weeks.
It was way too quick, way too easy, way too straightforward. Almost as if, given the history of South Africa and the PTSD that we all suffer from the likes of Eskom, you almost thought something's going to break. When's it going to break? This is going to break. Just let it break, yeah. Kind of thing, right?
And here we are.
And there's some glue that's holding it together. We don't know what the glue is, but shout out to GNU, Santa of the Year. And our ultimate Christmas present, right?
Yeah.
Ultimate Christmas present, the candidates that we have there, NVIDIA, Bitcoin, Sprouts Farmers Markets.
I know.
Mr. Price. Every one of those has done more than what expectations would have had throughout the year, more than what analysts' consensus would have been throughout the year. And before we get to kind of who wins that, I want to put that on pause and I want to look at some other honorable mentions throughout the year. Some of the honorable mentions, not so great, but from the ultimate Christmas present, you could have one stock that just here, I'm gifting this to you, right? We've got our list, but there were some other guys out there that also you dealt with a lot. As a company, you had to navigate ups and downs and figure out your life. And you came out of it the other side and you were like, okay, we're actually surviving. You know what I mean? We've made it through quite a bit. Now, when we look at the wall and we look at just some of the guys that sit on that wall, we would have had a lot of the conversations around the PGMs and what you guys are doing. And hey, are you guys doing well? And what's happening? You know what I mean? But you take any of our blue chip stocks, right? You take our Capitec, you take Clicks, you take ShopRite, you take Richemont locally. And any of those stocks are worthy of saying, you know what, this will, if someone had given me those stocks at the start of the year, then, you know, I'd be smiling all the way to the bank. You'd be take. If you told me I'd be up 50% on Capitec by this time of the year, just I would have taken
it. And 100 off the lows.
That's it.
I think it hit a low of 16.
I would have taken it. So that's there. But some of the other honorable mentions as well that make the list, the Rand. We had our Rand predictor out. We had predictions for the end of the year. And it looks as though the Rand got the message because just today it's been rallying.
15 cents today.
It was above 18 Rand last week. We had our predictions out. Sime has it at 17 Rand and 2 cents. I said around 17.50. If I remember correctly, we had predictions at 17.60 from members of our community on Instagram. We had a 17.23. We had a 17.40. We even had a 16 Rand 90. We had an 18.30 from James Morris. We had a 17.40 from Sean Denderi, who was in studio with us. We had a 17.80 from our incognito community member on YouTube. So we have had those predictions. Where are we sitting at the moment?
17.89.67.
Call it 17.90 if we're going to round up and all of those sorts of things. Oh, this is wow.
Yeah, so look, my 17.02 is a little bit out the picture.
So
two things. Our rand typically strengthens over the Christmas period.
Mm-hmm.
So that could help us a bit. And the dollar index is kind of at that resistance and does look like it's going to come down from that. Is it going to go from 106 all the way back to 100, in which case 1680 is absolutely on the charts? Mm-hmm. None of this is happening in December. My 1702 looks a little bit... A little bit stretched, but the Rand is looking decent. And let's be clear, there's, you know, why does the currency strengthen? Because money's moving in.
Mm.
Why is money moving in? Well, they're not buying equity. They're not doing foreign direct investment.
Mm-hmm.
They're buying our bonds.
Well, you say our bonds, but we're also building a 9.5 billion rand platinum refinery in Limpopo, thanks to Saudi Arabia. And if I'm not mistaken, that I don't know that is that by way of the PIF, our favorite sovereign wealth fund. I'll check. We'll check. But yeah, those are some really good honorable mentions, and those are some of the things that have really the rand deserves that. Eh?
Yeah.
I almost want to put it back in the running for ultimate gift of the year, right? Because it's been through a lot. Let's be clear. The Rand has been through quite a bit. I don't quite know if it's there yet, but one of the other honorable mentions for, I suppose this is the ultimate gift of the year, if depending on which side of the coin you sit on. Lewis Hamilton leaving and moving to Ferrari.
Hey, look, I've been a Ferrari fan my entire life, and mostly, almost exclusively, apart from a few times, it just causes you pain. I hope Lewis is strong. He undoubtedly is. Can he do something at Ferrari? He can, and then then $10 says they will mess up the strategy and put his tires on backwards or something like that. So I am a Ferrari supporter through and through my entire life, and I think he's a braver man than me, but it's going to be epic to see him in the red next year.
Do you know what's going to be even more epic than that?
Mm-hmm.
Is he is set to move into Enzo Ferrari's former residence in Italy. Now, for context, you have to be exceptional to even be considered for this list, because no Ferrari driver has been considered, let alone offered this particular privilege since Michael Schumacher.
Since Schumacher.
And for you
and
to
those
be...
those are the two goats, to my mind.
That's it. And for you to be offered this, you haven't even started driving for them.
Yeah, I know.
Right?
Yeah, I know.
It's epic. It's serious.
You saw his dress this weekend. So he starts on Thursday, free practice, he's in white.
Mm.
And then the next day, his white becomes a bit pinkish. And then by Saturday, Sunday, race day, he arrives all in red. I mean, just the
transition.
Yeah.
Brilliant
and
stuff.
And Ferrari fans are a different beast.
That's it. Certainly. Yeah. But now this is the thing. Ferrari fans are one side of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in this era of Formula One, you're getting Max Verstappen fans. You're getting Sergio Perez fans. You're getting legacy Lewis Hamilton fans. Beyond just the car that you drive, they are fans of the driver.
Yeah.
I guarantee you Ferrari merch is going to go through the roof if it hasn't already.
Oh, absolutely.
The announcement alone sent Ferrari's share price up, I think it was some 10%. They recouped their entire investment package into Lewis on the share price moving that time when they announced him. So certainly going to be an interesting 2025. It's definitely going to be a big one there. But let's see who we award our award to. Let's see who we give the ultimate Christmas gift. Of the year.
I mean, so
Bitcoin hitting 100,000 is a massive thing. Nvidia has done 200% this year. Mr. Price has done more than 100% this year. Sprouts Farmers Market has done more than, I think it's done more than 100% this year as well. How do you give that? Maybe we do a basket.
I was going to say,
let's do a basket.
Shouldn't we be responsible investors?
That's it. Diversify
and
the
not
investment.
Go all in.
That's it. Diversify.
Because I mean, I could kick Bitcoin because it's weird, but I own it.
Mm.
I own all of these directly or indirectly. Sprouts I own because I own an AMC that owns Sprouts.
There we go.
Man, and they're just like things of beauty.
That's it. So it's a basket. Mm. Everybody wins. That's the whole point of Christmas. You get one. Everybody gets a Christmas gift, right? The picks. We're going to wrap things up with our picks. And we have one pick for this week, and that pick that's going up on our wall is very cheesy. Anyone that knows me knows I can be very cheesy. Our pick is the community. The InsiderX community, you guys are our pick for our wall. You guys have been absolutely fantastic throughout the year. You guys have given us the strength and the insights and everything to keep going, keep doing the show, keep producing the best content that we can produce for you. You guys are going straight into blue chip. Every single one of you, we're not debating it. We're not discussing it. The community has been phenomenal in our journey. We thank you for this journey. There are some serious honorable mentions that were very close runners up to the community, and that would of course be our partners, our guests, our sponsors, everybody that's come through onto the show throughout the year, the amazing team that sits behind the scenes here, that does all the work, that puts together all of our content, that helps us deliver an A-class show as much as we can for as long as we can. That is the honorable mention side of it, and we couldn't do it without anyone else. We couldn't really get to where we are without everyone's contributions, but without the community and without the response that we've gotten from you guys, I don't know if Si and I would have had enough strength to keep going. I mean, it's been quite the year, and we'd like to thank everybody. So that's our pick. The only addition to our wall, straight into blue chip status on both our local and our international wall for both our local and international community. It's everybody there. Shout out to you guys. Shout out to everything that you've done for us. Next year, we promise to come back with even crazier insights, even more honest and unfiltered opinions. We're going to, it's going to be a good time. It's going to be a good break. I think it's going to be much deserved.
It's going to be an epic break, and I'm looking, I think it's going to be a good year. It's going to be volatile.
It is. No, but it's going to be the kind of volatile, it's not, I think in the past we've had volatility around uncertainty and insecurity and hesitation. This volatility is going to be everything's moving.
Yeah.
It's going to be either going up, going down. It's fun. There's mergers and acquisitions on the table. People are buying. People are selling. It's going to be good volatility. It's not going to be uncertain. The last thing you want is to sit in an environment where markets are not certain. You don't know whether to get in. You don't know whether... I think there's going to be so much opportunity. You're not going to know what to get in on and what to leave behind.
Yeah.
It's going to be one of those years. And it might not even be one of those years. I think 2025 might be the start of a much longer cycle like that, because the reality is Orange Man is here for 4 years, which is 4 years of volatility there. But markets have also been depressed for 4 years coming out of the pandemic, dealing with interest rates, inflation, and all those other things as well. So it's going to be a much better, I almost want to say, it's difficult to get lower than what we've gotten. We've gotten pretty low over the last couple of years from a market's perspective. And I think having seen what a bottom looks like, you can really only go in one direction from here.
Yeah.
And that's up, right? That's
fun year.
Fun year. We're expecting a fun year. Please, if you're going to be traveling, if you're going to be out on the roads, if you're going to be out buying bread, stay safe. Remember to tell people how long you're going to go buy bread for. Don't have people call us asking where you are and those things. It just puts people in an awkward position, right? So be safe out there. Do what you need to do to get your families taken care of. All the best to everybody. Those that are in our education thread on TikTok, put the school fees money aside now. You saw what those fees look like, guys. Those things are ridiculous. We're going to take a break, as I said, for the festive period. We will be back in the new year. We will be back with more jingling bells on Simon's head and other fun things going into the new year. But until then, from myself, Jimmy Moyaha,
and Simon Brown,
until next year, until next time, investing isn't hard. Just try it.